the one before him. I said, one of the Bush guys. And then one before him, I said, Clinton. I said, don't ask me no more. And he said, no, that was all, you know. Okay, through all the hour and a half I was there, I missed only two. And I know that all the young people know this too. And I knew it at one time, but I just wasn't thinking clear. He said, where is Brazil at? And I said, Europe, but I know it's South America. And the other one was, who wrote Hamlet? And all I kept thinking was Mel Gibson. But I know he didn't write it. I mean, I know he was in Hamlet, you know. But of course, I didn't say it. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I can't remember. I'm sorry, you know. So I stand. He goes, Shakespeare. I go, I knew that. I just didn't know it then. So anyway, when after the thing was all over, he goes, Miss Fisher, you are very normal. And I said, thank you. And I said, well, what would have happened if I hadn't been normal? And he said, two things. You either go therapy every week or we would put you in a facility. I said, well, thank you. So I left there, you know, I don't know how, what kind of motion, but I mean, I was honest with everything that I answered. And people, some of the people that I told you personally, they said, oh, they would have already locked me up, because some of the memory stuff, you know, like numbers that give you up to seven and you have to repeat them back. You know, I had to really think, but I passed everything. So that was a really fun experience. And so when I went to take stand to disability and I told them about it, they go, yes, you don't want to use that word depressed with us. Because you know, right away they're going to send you to psychiatrists. So I'm not depressed. I get down. Oh, because I told the psychiatrist, I said, you're human. Don't you get down? I said, I know the meaning of depression, and I've never been in that. I never had to take medicine for it, and I've never been in where the position where I just didn't want to get out of bed. No, I am ready to get up every morning. I'm a morning person, you know, so I'm not in a grumpy mood, you know. I'm sorry, I'm not bragging. That's just me. And I'm a all-around happy-go-lucky person. And he said, well, that's good. He goes, that's what they mean by you're crazy, because that's a good kind of crazy. So anyway, that's another thing that happened. And so I'm still waiting to hear from them again. But I'm just so thankful that I'm not crazy. I'm thankful that I'm in this church. And so many things that Brother Smith been talking in the past about, that, oh, I had memories thoughts on different things, you know. And I remember, I just wanted to share this, because Brother Smith was talking about standards and about the young people, about how knowing this and that. And Brother Tucker called me and another young person up to do a knee test. And that's how you find out if your dress was long enough. If you kneeled on the floor and it touched the floor, you're okay. And so I lived with them at that time. And so I asked him, I said, because not just that, but whenever, you know, me and Bonnie, we would be talking and said, we're just 16, 17 years, I was 16. Anyway, he'd call us down or we'd write notes. He'd tell the ushers, go get the notes. That must be very important for those girls to be writing those notes. We need to know what they're writing about. And so I asked him, I said, Brother Tucker, why are you always picking on me? You know, and he said, Sister, this was like years, not years, but a year or 2 years later, whenever, after I got married. And I said, you know, you always picked on me. He goes, you know what? He said, because I knew you could take it. Because I knew that you weren't going to run off. And that made me feel so good, because you know, my father always raised me to respect the elders and take criticism or take punishment, whatever I had to take, and that would make me stronger. And Sister Tucker used to always, you know, brag on the fact that I was the only one at that time that stayed in the church. Well, sooner or later, she said it, a month later, I left. But I didn't leave because of the church. I left because of me. And I didn't, because I didn't have the Holy Ghost. And that's another thing that they talked about here in the past, about don't tell somebody you have the Holy Ghost. Let them tell you. Well, see, that's what happened to me. I was just 16, and the Redwood City people told me, you got it. But little did they know that I wasn't speaking in tongues. I was speaking in Spanish tongues. I mean, I was saying, oh, God, please help me. You know, these people are crazy. I was talking in Spanish, saying all these things. And so, of course, yeah, to them, that's tongues. Oh, you got it, you know. So I just looked at him and said, okay, you know, whatever you say. Because I didn't speak very much English at all, you know, back in 66, 67. So anyways, in 85 of October is when I know that I received the Holy Ghost. And nobody had to tell me. I knew it. I knew it right from shadow of a doubt. And that's what's kept me here. And I know that God has a plan. And I'm trying to live, you know, the best way I know how. And trying to do what my pastor has preached over the pulpit. Trying to practice what he preaches. And I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed because I know that that he's, you know, he's with me and he's never left me. And how I keep encouraged is I've listened to all these songs and, oh, they're so encouraging, I don't know the reason for this trial, you know, that song. I forgot who sings it. But you know, that's what makes me stronger. You know, I'm not going to put everybody in the picture. I'm talking about myself, that he knows what I can go through, what I can take. And he must really be in love with me because they say, you know, God loves those who he chastens. And he's really been putting me through it. But I appreciate him for it. I really do. I don't regret one trial, one test that he's put me through. And I'm like Brother Smith. I want more of him in 2010, but also I want to blend in 2010. And by that, I want to be able to attend meetings. And I done told Janet Field, if they go, ask me. So I can go, or Sister Ines, whoever, you know, ask me, please, and I'll tag along with y'all, because I want to blend my spirit with everybody in the body, not just here, because I've already, you know, I can truthfully say, honestly say, Brother Smith, that I don't have whatever the word you used about, because I looked around, I go, I like and love everybody here. There's nobody that I have, you know, like bad feelings towards, nobody. You know, I can't say that I could do. I don't. Maybe somebody that's not here. I don't know, but I don't right now. And God. But don't do anything to make me mad. But no, that's okay. That means that God's trying me, so and I'll just get stronger. But I believe in having hate and love at the same time. So in my heart, and God, you know, wouldn't like that. So I just appreciate the fact that God saw something in me from the age back, way, way back. And also, another thing, one of my cousins, this happened on Christmas Day, I think it was, he called me. He's the father of the one that just lost his young boy. And his other boy used to go to school here, Nick. That's Hector's brother. And he when I lived with him, you know, then I moved over here, and then I went back to visit. I wanted to go to Brother Patton's church, and I took him with me. And well, he brought it up. He goes, Linda, I just want you to know that there's a memory of that. I have a lot of memories, but there's one memory that sticks out. It's when you came over here and you took me to that church. I was just 12 years old, but I remember those people running the aisles, speaking in tongues and everything. And I wasn't scared. I was just like amazed. And I think, well, it can't be that bad if my cousin's involved with this group. And I would like to have something like that, the way those people, they look so happy. And he said, you and Uncle Ray always, you're the ones that brought us into, you know, to church and all that. And he goes, and now, and you know that I'm in the body now. I'm in church. He's in Lake Jackson now serving God, because he said that I was an instrument to that. And nobody's ever, you know, said that to me, and it just made my day, because I was already, like I said, lonely for my family, and it was just wonderful to hear those words because he said, even though I don't see you, because you've shown, and I, you know, of course, I wasn't going to tell him that I left the church 7 years, but he said, you've been in church all my life, all his life, and you've been an example, and every time you call, you're always happy, and you're always encouraging, and I just want you to know that you're my favorite cousin, and I appreciate you, and I just keep going that way. Don't ever leave God. And I said, I don't want to, you know. And the same day, another relative, the one that I told you about last time, that when they said that, why do you have to go to church, and I serve God, blah blah blah, at home. Well, and I told you I was scared to say anything, but this time I did say something. They was going through some trials, and I said, you know, don't you feel like strange asking God? He goes, well, I don't, because, you know, I feel bad because I'm not really, I mean, I love him, but I don't guess I'm serving him the way he wants me to. I said, well, that's the same way with our family, our parents. I said, when, you know, if you, because there are, you know, parents and children maybe out in the world that they have bad relationships, and they don't feel right asking the parents for help or anything like that. So I said, that's why you feel that way, because you don't have a good relationship with God. But please get straight, you know. You've been there. You used to go, you know, years ago, and you can get back and have that relationship. Because I said, everything's not going that great for me, but I feel so good that I can openly say, God, I need your help. I need you. And he helps me every time. Every time. I'm not going to say that. There's been times that he hasn't. He's always has helped me. And I really, you know, applaud him and praise him. And I thank him and I love him. And I love each one of y'all, because y'all have been an example to me and have been, you know, there. Even though, you know, I might not talk to you, but just seeing you smile and get out there and worship and all that, and that's another thing. If you don't see me get is, you know, because my body sometimes, especially these cold days, you know, I'm not that old, but I have all these things wrong with me that causes me to lock up, and I wasn't able to raise my hands for a period of time or comb my hair up, but because it hurts, but so bad, but it's not hurting as bad. And tonight I almost didn't come because I was hurting on my legs, and Stan started praying for me, and I said, Lord, you know, I want to be there. I've never spent New Year's Eve out of church when I was in church. Like I told Brother Daniels, I was either at church or at a party, but at a party is when I was out of church. But this is the best kind of party. Like he said, yo, you're in a party now. I said, yeah, this is the best kind. And so I want to spend, you know, start the year out right. And I want, again, like Brother Smith, you know, if anybody, even though y'all haven't done anything, you know, to hurt my feelings, but I might have said something, and I want y'all to forgive me, and I want to start the year right, and you can come to me, and, you know, I'm not going to bite your head off, because that's not in my nature to bite anybody's head off. And if I do, something's wrong with me, so hit me on the head. But I love each one of y'all.
I want to say how happy I am to be here tonight. There's nowhere else that I would rather be. A lot of people out there thinking they're going to have fun tonight and they're going to do so much, but all they're going to do is create heartache for themselves and for others. Well, like Brother Smith said, you know how, you know, 2010 is for winning others, and so that is my theme, others to win in 2010. I want to do more for God. I want to give myself completely for his use, because there's too many souls out there who are lost. Many don't know that they're lost, but they're out there, and many don't feel like they have any hope, or many don't have anyone to turn to, but I want God to use me. God used me every way that he wants, you know, that I could help further the kingdom of God. There's a fountain that is flowing from a place called Calvary. There is healing in its waters. There is joy and victory. Have you been beneath the fountain. There's no other place to go. Flowing down from Calvary's mountain, it will wash you white as snow. Other waters will be bitter. They just cannot satisfy. But this fountain flows forever, and it never shall run dry. Now have you been beneath the fountain? There's no other place to go. To this fountain, it will cleanse you from all sin. It will lift your heavy burden and give perfect peace within. Have you been beneath the fountain? There's no other place to go. Flowing down from Calvary's mountain, it will wash you white as snow. Have you been beneath this fountain? There's no other place to go. Calvary, there is healing in its water, there is joy and victory. Have you been beneath this fountain? There's no other place to go. They just cannot satisfy. But this fountain flows forever, and it never shall run dry. Burden and give it peace.
Well, it's good to be in Little Rock. New Year's Eve. Spent many a New Year's Eve here. Every one of them has been a privilege. And I know God marks time, and I want to be aware what God's doing. And I want to blend with God's people. And appreciating what Brother Smith had to say, the Lord's been dealing my heart on some of those same things. Had a really strong desire recently. God's been really showing himself to me through the lattice work. I don't see it clearly, but just here in the last several months, the Lord's just been giving me glimpses of what we're striving for. And it's encouraged me. As Jesus said there in the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in the second verse, we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And if God doesn't help us to see a joy that's set before us, we'll never endure the cross. If we can't see the joy of being with this people, we can't see the joy of salvation and God making us a part of that salvation, we'll never endure the cross that we've got to go through. But thank God that he sets that joy before us. And it takes the Holy Ghost to enable us to see that. It's a working of the Spirit of God. And I want to blend my spirit with the Spirit of God. I want to know the Lord. I don't want to just know about him, but I want to know him. I want to experience the Lord and to have that revelation of Jesus Christ, not just in my head, but in my heart and in my life. Because the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. You'll never see the kingdom of God by intellect, but you'll see the kingdom of God as it begins to come within you. And as you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good, we see how good the Lord is as we taste of eternal life, as we begin to taste of the goodness of the Lord through the Spirit of God, through that operation of the Holy Ghost. And that's why I'm thankful to be here tonight. Because we're not among a people that are just talking about the goodness of the Lord, and yet there's a depth in our conversation that most of the religious world has no idea about. But on the same hand, I don't want to just talk about it, I want to live it. And I do have a desire to be with God's people. I have a desire to... we've talked about that a little bit lately. Jesus said there in John the 14th chapter, where I am, there you may be also, to go where the Lord is. And that following that thread, John recorded that thread. And if you follow it, it talks about it all through John. And John captures it in the third chapter where he tells us where he is. No man hath ascended into heaven, but the Son of Man which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And then in the seventh chapter, he's talking to the religious leaders there. And he said, where I go, you'll seek me, but you cannot come where I am. And the disciples asked him later, Lord, where are you going that we can't come? In the 14th chapter. And Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come now, but you shall come later to that place of where I am. And, of course, Peter said, Lord, we'll follow you to the end. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about a literal place. He was talking about a place in God. And he mentioned that also back in the 12th chapter where he said, for where I am, there shall my disciple be. And that condition of God through the Holy Ghost. We know, and thank God for the teaching on that, that that's finally It's a place, it's an overcoming state in God. Is where He's at, that He wants us to be in. And then He begins to talk about that place in God. There, where He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. And then He goes on down a little bit later in the 17th chapter of John. He says, Father, when He's talking about that great unity, I desire that unity. I realize that in order for me to have that unity, it's a unity of the Spirit. And that there is a death that I have to go through to my will and to my nature if I'm going to come where He is. And He got down to the end of that 17th chapter and He said, Father, that they may be where I am, that they may behold my glory. And we can never see the glory of the cross or of our Savior until we begin to get up where He is and begin to walk where He is. But I desire that unity. And I want to be with Him in 2010. And I want to win people to Him in 2010. And not just 2010, but always. But I've just had that overwhelming desire, because when we get where He is in our soul and in our spirit, and we begin to work as He works and begin to operate as He operates, and we begin to behold that glory that He had, and begin through the eyes of the Spirit to begin to understand what He's doing and begin to understand where He's going, and we begin to come into the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith, the unity of where God wants us, we begin to become that chain that John saw there. Was it Revelation the 20th chapter, where he said that angel had that great chain and he went down into the bottomless pit and he bound the devil for 1,000 years. That type of unity that Christ is trying to bring us to, and the only way we can come into that unity is by coming to where He is, that where I am, there ye may be also. And when we begin to unify in the Spirit, not in the flesh, not according to the wisdom of men, not according to as Paul said, he said, I haven't come to you with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should become of none effect. He said, but later he said, I come to you in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. How did he come in that power and that demonstration? Where Christ was, he began to come there. Where I am, Paul began to be there and began to exercise there and to work there. And with that power, he began to turn the world along with those early apostles upside down. Because he had left off with the words of wisdom, with the wisdom of this world. Peter later said, he said, I didn't come to you with cunningly devised fables. He said, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Brother, that was a fulfillment of what Jesus was praying there in that 17th chapter of John when he said, Father, that they may be where I am, that they may behold the glory that thou hast given me. He said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, granted, he was talking about the translation in the mount, but also I believe it was referring to, we understood, finally, after they were endued with that power from on high, they began to understand what Christ was doing, beginning to get where he was. Now, I want to come to where he is. I know we're not going to come there alone. I thank God that he gave Brother, really, Brother Souders, that revelation. Brother Linger just continued to work on it. And I know Brother Smith and the ministry is still working on it today. But we're not going to make this alone. And we're not going to overcome and go into the high places of God, the secret places of God alone. We're going to go there together. I want to be in that number. I don't want to see you all go and I'm not coming too. I don't want to have that prophecy fulfilled in my life that that Elisha gave there to the king's guard when he said, if the windows of heaven were open, would such a thing be possible? Elisha said, you'll see it, but you'll never taste of it. God, I don't want to go there. I want to go. I'm seeing something. I want to be there. I don't want y'all to be trying to tell me about it, because it is joy unspeakable. It is something that's beyond us. And I see the Lord taking us there. And I believe it's that chain that I want it. First of all, I'm going to have my flesh tormented a little bit. Well, I'll torment anybody else's flesh. I'll have to have myself worked on a little bit before anybody else. But I would like to have that operation of the Holy Ghost to where that people could be tormented. It's the opposite of that torment when they couldn't find death. I want to find that death. I want to find that death to Adam. I want to find that death to Bryce. I want to find that death to the flesh. I want that man to be tormented, because one man or the other is going to be tormented. Either the spirit man is going to be tormented or the flesh man is going to be tormented. One of them is going to die and one of them is going to live. And my God, I want to find the one that can live forever. Because in Adam all die. If Adam lives, I'll finally find death. If I seek to save my own life, I'm going to lose it. But if I'll seek to lose my life in Christ, I'm going to find it. That's what Paul was saying when he said, I didn't come to you with the wisdom of man's words, but I come, he said, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. He said, I'm not ashamed of that cross, because by it the world is crucified unto me and I unto it. He said, for circumcision availeth nothing, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. Brother, that's the only way we'll come into that new creature in Christ Jesus, is when we, by the cross of Christ, the only way we'll endure that cross is for the joy set before us. And I believe in 2010, you know, we're on a destiny. I believe that as much as I've ever believed it in all my life. We're on a destiny. And as we can, when we look at the four winds of this world, or getting the breeze is picking up. It's the winds are starting to blow. There's some things right now that's already passed in the Senate that's in effect that is just bringing something about. And my flesh doesn't look forward to it, but God's moving. And I want to be part of what He's doing. And if God's moving in the world, I know He's moving in the church. And that is my prayer today. God, when Your people move on to higher ground, let me go too. Lord, when your people are coming up into a higher realm, I want to go too. I don't want to be left behind. I want to be where You're at. That's not a carnal state. It's not an intellectual state, but it's a life state. It's a new creature state. We were singing this last night in Republic or somewhere. It's one of these couple nights ago. We were singing that song that was it Rusty Goodman wrote. Until you've known, you know nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you've known the loving hand that reaches down to a fallen man, you know nothing. And when you look at the political correctness of this world, they say, who are you to say that? How can you say you know nothing? You know, who are you? Brother, I understand what Paul was saying. He said, seeing then, right there in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Rather, when you've tasted of this life, when you've tasted of the change, when something down inside of you has happened that was beyond you, that was beyond flesh, that was beyond what the world couldn't give it to you, and the world can't take it away from you. Brother, when you get that kind of experience, you begin to have a hope. When you have that hope, you can't help but have a great plainness of speech. You can't but begin to talk confidently about what's going on. Why? Mother, there's a fountain that I've tasted of. Nobody could give it to me. Nobody could take it away from me. Something happened inside of me my father couldn't give me. Something happened inside of me that my best friend couldn't give me. Something divine happened in me. It's undeniable. Brother, that's what Jude was talking about there when he said these that turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ that bought them. Jude was saying, I can't deny that. Something happened in me I can't deny. And furthermore, I don't think he wanted to deny it. I don't want to deny it. Preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness. But to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I think that's what's going to win this world. I agree this world's in a sad shape. But I think the reason the world is in a sad shape, especially America, is because that the church has quit preaching salvation and begin to preach political correctness. Rather, when we get back, and I believe that the hope is right here in the body of Christ more than it is anywhere, we begin to preach the life-changing power of Jesus Christ unashamedly, unabashedly, and begin to demonstrate that to the world, begin to live that in the world, not just talk about it, but as we begin to live it, brother, those souls that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness are going to begin to find that they need to be filled. When we begin to go where he is, and I believe we're there in measure, but I want to come there in a fuller state. I want to be there in a greater state. And I don't want to be left out of what God's doing. And that's why I'm here tonight. I can't bear the thought of setting home. Brother, when God's with his people, where there's a people beginning to come to where he is. We're not there yet, but we know we're ascending. We're rising up. We're coming up in God. And to know that the things that are eternal are going on here. Things that are immortal are going on here. Things that will change my world. And finally, if it changes me enough, it'll begin to change the world that I live in. And begin to know that that's going on. I couldn't bear the thought of not being in church on on a New Year's Eve or some other time when there's a special time when we really believe that God. I believe God. I've seen him. I've seen it happen enough. I believe God's interested in this, in these times. I believe God is. I've just had too much of the goodness of the Lord in special services like this to not believe that God is not interested and not with us. And I appreciate everything that's went on. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you don't know what's going on. You don't know where to go. You don't really know what the Lord is doing. But this one thing I'm beginning to see and understand: the journey is so important. To never lose faith. To never quit trusting God. And thank God we can trust Him, and we can endure our cross. We can go through the difficulty we have. Because on the other side, brother, there's something for us. And that's just a quick comment here on that white stone. God's been just turning that over in my heart. That white stone that God's going to give us there in Revelations. To them that overcometh, he'll give them to eat of that hidden manna, and he'll give them a white stone and a name in that stone that no man knoweth but he that receiveth it. That name is the nature of Jesus Christ written in our hearts. And no man's going to know it but he that receiveth it. They that are spiritual know, they're misunderstood in this world. The carnal man can't understand the spiritual things of God. And when we get that new nature, when God puts that new nature in us, nobody will understand it but he that hath it. And that's why I want the mysteries of God. I don't want to just know them in my mind, but I want to know them in my heart. And God is working on those mysteries right now. In fact, that white stone, I believe, is when God takes out of you that black, stony heart of flesh. that black stony heart and gives you a heart of flesh, as was prophesied there in Ezekiel the 35th chapter. That's just so God can begin to work on you. But when God gets you fixed, when God gets it right in you, your heart turns back into a stone, but it's a white stone. I believe that's that same stone he's talking about here. And we begin to say, as David said in the 57th Psalm, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed on Thee." And then he began to say, "Awake, O psaltery, and awake, O harp." We're going to, I forget exactly how I said it, but and rejoice and praise the Lord. And I believe that awake there, when his heart was fixed, is the fulfillment of David's prayer there is it the 15th or the 17th Psalm, where he said, "When I awake with thy likeness." Let me just read that. I don't want to take too long here tonight, but if I could just share this, it is the 17th Psalm. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness." That's that whiteness of that stone given there in Revelations. "I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." And I believe that's the completion of that prayer that David was praying in the 57th Psalm. "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed on thee. It's fixed and repaired, and it's fixed that it's staying upon the Lord God." And that's when he begins to say, "Awake, O psaltery, awake, O harp." We're going to begin to awake when we awake with the righteousness of God. And God has filled us with the righteousness of God. We're going to begin to sing and to give God praise. And brother, we're finally going to begin to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb that it shows the bride singing there is at the 5th chapter of Revelation, where they were around the throne of God and begin to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Brother, the song of Moses and the Lamb is a song of obedience from your heart toward God. When you out of a heart begin to praise the Lord and begin to worship God, not because you're forced to, not because you're coerced to, but out of the very depths of your heart, you begin to say, "Oh God, you're worthy. You're worthy. Thou hast saved us. Thou hast redeemed us from this world. Lord, none other could do it, but you've done it. And we praise you and we thank you." I want to sing that in its fullness. I want to sing every note of that song of Moses and the Lamb. I want to sing it from the bottom of my heart. I want to have the rhythm right, the melody right. If I'm singing harmony, I want to harmonize right. I want my heart to be fixed, oh God. Part of that's going with y'all. I can't get there on my own. I think we can do it together. I know we can do it together. I know the Lord's going to help us. I know the Lord's going to help us. I know he's involved. It might not be pretty from time to time. It might be with uncertainty from time to time. But I keep seeing him. I keep seeing him between the lattice. I keep seeing and knowing he's still with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to make it all the way. And I want to make it with you all. I want to be with you. Blessed be the Lord. In the Spirit of God, not in the spirit of Christ, but in the Spirit of God. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be. Thank you.
life journey.